Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and I have invited author Shadonna Richards to the show, and she is here to talk about her new book, A Gift of Hope, 52 Ways to Live a Better Life. Shadonna Richards is an inspirational writer, author of more than 250 articles, former newspaper columnist, and she is a registered nurse. Her work has appeared in the Toronto Star, Toronto Sun, Metro Toronto Edition, Word Magazine, and the Scarborough Mirror, with a combined readership of 2 million readers. Shadonna is a registered nurse and devotes her time to caring for the terminally ill cancer patients. She also has a Bachelor of Arts degree in psychology and believes in the power of positive thinking. She currently lives in Canada with her husband and son. And Shadonna uses her MySpace site as her website, so you can reach her at myspace.com/Shadonna Richards. So that being said, welcome to the program, Shadonna.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so A Gift of Hope, this is your first book.
Yes, it is.
So why did you decide to take the leap from writing articles, you've written a few, to publishing a full-fledged book?
Well, it came naturally, Juanita. The articles that I have written for the Scarborough Mirror and for the Toronto Star and Metro were inspirational in nature, and a lot of readers would write into the editor regarding receiving more stories like that they were inspired by the profiles that I sort of wrote about, people overcoming odds and so forth. So it sort of came naturally that I would compile a collection of articles that I've done and then put them together in a book and also write some new essays as well.
When did you start writing these articles?
Wow, I guess it began 15 years ago.
Really?
It's a while ago, yes. when I started writing for the Scarborough Mirror in the early 90s, I sort of gravitated towards stories of hope. As I mentioned before, people who've overcome great odds and went on to be successful and inspire other people. So those are the sort of things that I gravitated towards, and it started back then.
Wow. So were you working as a nurse at that time as well?
No, actually I wasn't. I had just received my bachelor's degree in psychology, and I was working as a freelance writer back then.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Well, tell us about the overriding theme of hope for your book and why it is the gift of this book and the message, why you picked hope.
Wow. Well, Juanita, that's a very good question. Hope is, I believe, it's the driving force that moves us all forward during our difficult times, and especially during these economic uncertainty right now in these times. I think everybody could use a bit of hope right now. It's so important to have to change our outlook on life and believe that that change is possible. And so that's why I have the theme, A Gift of Hope. It's to basically inspire people to live a fulfilling life and to realize that their dreams can come true regardless of what challenges they may face.
Sounds good. So I actually understand that you've always had a deep desire to make a positive difference in people's lives. Where did this come from?
Wow. I guess it's a few sources. I mean, I guess growing up, my parents had broken up when I was just, a child. So I've had to sort of learn how to be, be inspired and to search for the good in situations. And my mother would, at the time, as a young child, let me read books on positive thinking, like Dr. Norman Vincent Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking. So I think I was about 11 or 12 when I first read a chapter or two.
Oh my gosh, that's young for such a important work like that.
That is, but my mother is always a person that sort of, she studied psychology in school as well, believed in positive thinking and that it's not the circumstances that we're in, but it's basically it's how we look at things and how we react to things that's really important. That we can't always control our circumstances, but we can control our reactions to things. So I think it sort of stemmed from back there.
And you actually, with the nursing work that you do, I mean, you work with terminally ill cancer patients for the most part, right?
Yes, I do.
I mean, that takes a certain kind of a person to be able to deal with that kind of a situation on a daily basis.
It is difficult. It's very difficult because you see a lot of things, a lot of suffering, and that's very hard to see. You want to see a good outcome in all the situations, but I've actually learned a lot from these wonderful, courageous individuals that I work with that it's not the time that we have left, but the value that we place on our time. And a lot of us take a lot of things for granted. And I've learned from working with these wonderful patients that to never to take things for granted and to value what time we have left, because none of us know how much time we have left. And I've learned quite a lot. But it's a very difficult situation, obviously. But these wonderful people, they have such bravery and such an outlook on life that I think we can all learn from the way that they see things. Many of them only have... they know that they have less than 6 months to live, basically. That's their prognosis, and they've been informed of that. And the way that many of them accept that fact, that information, is just, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. It makes me realize or think that, you know, I have nothing at all to complain about. And so I wanted to sort of use those sentiments to let people know that, that we can, it's not our situations, but it's always how we respond to our situations that really matter.
Mm-hmm. Whether we react or we respond in a positive way.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, and that we can make the most of any time, really. I've seen people in their last few days who have sort of enjoyed the beauty of life and sort of made the most of what they have, more than people who feel that they have forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really quite interesting to see, actually.
I imagine. I mean, it probably has changed your outlook significantly, even if you were a positive person going into that kind of work. I mean, it must affect you and your life and how you actually look towards your own future.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I know that, I mean, at first it was really, really, I mean, and it still is sometimes very sad to see, especially
yes.
when, you know, these wonderful people, when they do pass away. It's a very difficult thing. And as nurses, we still draw tears for our patients.
It just, on one hand, it seems so unfair.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. You feel that, I mean, more than anything, I really want to raise awareness and to be a part of finding a cure as well for this dreadful disease. And it's really one of those things. It's you really don't look at things the same way when you work with the terminally ill. You really don't.
And this seems to be kind of a basis of your message, too, is living in the moment and appreciating everything you have today, right now.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, there is, I sort of paraphrased one of a song that in the book as well, Live Like You're Dying.
Mm-hmm.
I find that the people that tend to live each day as if it is their last tend to enjoy life more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the messages I have in the book as well, because there's a saying that you should live each day as if it could be your last, because one day it will be.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, when you do that, you don't get upset easily at little things. You don't let things bother you as much. You just live with vibrance. You learn how to appreciate the joyful moments and just the simple things, really. So in a way, it's sort of enabled me to really see more of the beauty of life and not to focus so much on any little negative things, because you think to yourself, wow, if this was your last day, how would you really, you know, feel? How would you want to live your last moment?
Right, right.
Not in a morbid way, but in a positive way.
No, exactly. No, I hear what you're saying. And there's something in that positive attitude and living your life from that space that you actually can attract more of that into your life as well. And it's kind of the same with being depressed and stressed and negative. I mean,
absolutely.
That's just like a loop that keeps repeating itself.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. And it's like the law of attraction. I certainly am a believer in that as well, that in some cases that we do attract what we give out as well. So it's important to sort of look at things in a different way that is beneficial to you, because there's always two ways of looking at things. Many doctors have said that some of their patients have recovered quicker because of their outlook, their positive mentality or optimism. That has helped a lot. There are patients as well that I've seen that we thought they were not going to make it, but they did make it.
Mm-hmm.
And that they did walk out of the hospital and that they were fine. And then other patients we felt, okay, well, you know, that they should be fine. And in some cases it turned out not to be that in that way.
Mm-hmm.
They said that in some cases it really does make a difference in having a positive mentality.
Yes.
And this is not necessarily to do with terminal ill patients, but to do with other patients, basically.
For other kind of disease and illness. There's
yeah.
several books that are written on that. I think Bernie Siegel was kind of a groundbreaking doctor that put out some books where he actually documented very ill patients getting better just from positive affirmations, watching positive movies, you know.
It makes a difference. Anything is possible. It does make a difference.
Yeah.
I did also include in the book about my great-grandmother as well. She was in her late 70s when she was diagnosed with cancer and told her she had 6 months to live. Now, I'm not saying that positive thinking is going to change everything, because everyone's disease is different.
Sure.
But in her particular case, she decided that if she's going to have 6 months to live, she was going to live those the best that she can, those 6 months. That was her mentality, that she was going to make the most of each moment. And as it turned out, she lived longer than the 6 months, a lot longer.
Good for her.
305.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was actually a miracle. That was a miracle.
Yes.
But, you know, anything is possible. And it reminded me a little bit about Randy Pausch, the wonderful professor who wrote the book, The Last Lecture. He lived longer than 6 months that he was given as well. So, it just makes you think about things.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about how you broke down A Gift of Hope. I know you've got inspirational messages and then exercises. Tell us about the format.
Sure. It's actually a weekly essay, so short inspirational stories, one for each week of the year, 52. And basically I have, I begin each story with an inspirational quote from a philosopher or a passage or scripture or just from anyone, basically, that offers words of wisdom. And then I go into a story of overcoming odds or an example of how to live a better life. And I also include at the end a little hope initiative, how you can actually implement the changes in the story to your own life to make a positive change. And then I close off with your hopes for this week, meaning that you can basically write down your thoughts for this week, for each week, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty much an inspirational text and a sort of self-help reflective journal as well. It's a combination.
Well, there is so much power in journaling and actually taking the initiative, you know, to put paper to pen and just pour out your thoughts.
There is. Writing is good therapy, they say.
Mm-hmm.
It enables us to release what's within us, to unveil our emotions, and that's very important, actually. It's therapeutic.
yeah. Well, I wanted to get your take on this, because this is a action step that is part of the process that you're, you know, encouraging people to take here. So why is it that taking action like that is so much more powerful than just reading a positive affirmation or a positive story?
I think it's important to in the empowerment process to empower people to take control. Mm-hmm. When people can take an active role, and then they can apply it to their own lives and feel like they are not just passively reading something, but they're actually implementing the changes to their life. For instance, I also include at the back of a book, I tell people it's important to count their blessings, to count your blessings.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, I've also included a little journal, blessings journal,
mm-hmm.
so they can actually record those blessings and they can reflect on it for their own personal use. And that's very important. So it's pretty much just an extension of not just reading something, but actually implementing those changes. And I think that reinforces the message when you can do that.
I think that's a great idea to have some kind of action, because I think that it seems like you're right. It does something in the mind that turns on a switch.
It does. It reinforces it, which I think it's very important. And it stays with you too.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're active in it, you tend to remember things more. Like you remember that you were writing about a good moment that happened to you, or that, you know, something good is going, you know, in your life. So when you're actually writing it down, you do tend to remember rather than just reading it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Hi there. Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with author Shadonna Richards. Her new book, A Gift of Hope, 52 Ways to Live a Better Life, is out now, and you can find out more about Shadonna through her MySpace account, myspace.com/Shadonna Richards. It's really interesting what can come out when you write, too, that, you know, it's very different than just the thought process. I've done some writing recently myself, and I was astounded by what was coming out on the paper. So it really is. I'm so happy that you put journaling in the book. It's very powerful.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that that the readers will enjoy that as well, that segment of the book.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us how you compiled the stories that you included. Is there 52 stories?
Absolutely. 52 inspirational passages.
Okay.
Most of them are inspirational stories. Some have been published in different versions have been published in my newspaper columns.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of inspirational poems and pretty much that's it. Messages, basically. Messages of hope.
Now, how did you decide which stories to put in here?
Wow.
I know you must have a lot more than 52.
Oh, yeah. I have hundreds of stories, and I had to sort of condense it to 52, which was very hard because I've done so many different versions and rewrites of the book, but I sort of boiled it down to those, and I included one recently on believing anything is possible and daring to dream, and that was inspired by the wonderful Mr. Barack Obama and his victorious win in the U.S. elections.
Mm-hmm.
That's to inspire people that no matter what your background, that once you put your heart and mind and your soul into things, anything is possible. The dreams are attainable.
Mm-hmm.
So basically I've encouraged people to dig deep within themselves and to, if there's any hope or desire that they've always wanted to do or have, that they can reach that by mapping their way, basically.
Hmm. You know, I'm glad you brought up the Obama campaign, because that really, one of the overriding messages that he's putting forth is a message of hope. and a message of change.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I was so inspired by that.
I bet you were.
Yes, absolutely. It's encouraging to see changes happening, and that because as I wrote about in the book, if you look at where he's coming from, the fact that he was born during segregation in the U.S. and in the South, and that people of color had to fight for the right to vote, coming from there and going towards being president of the United States is quite a huge leap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just basically to encourage people that anything is possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It may not be on that level or that magnitude, but if you, for instance, if no one in your family has been to university and you want to be the first one, what's stopping you? Like, you can be inspired that if you really work hard and you put your heart into it and your mind to it, that you can achieve the goals no matter what background you have or what obstacles you've had to face in the past. It's just so encouraging to see that anything is possible. And I have to say that again because
mm-hmm.
it's repetitious, but it's just to let people know that barriers are coming down. And sometimes the greatest barriers we have is actually in our minds. And I know that a philosopher had once said it. I forgot who said it, but and it's very true, though.
Mhm. And it's so wonderful to have positive role models and inspirational figures that we can actually look up to like that in our society.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's just nice to see.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a very interesting time. And obviously we're at a point where a lot of people are really desiring this message of hope because they wouldn't have embraced it the way they did and have.
That's true. I do believe it. I do because it's the only thing we have to hold on to right now.
Yeah, right.
Because and hope is just the belief that better will come, that anything is possible, because we may not actually see it right now, but it is possible.
Mm.
And that's what hope gives us. It gives us the motivation that we need
mm-hmm.
and the encouragement and the fuel to move forward.
I love that. And then we take action.
And then we take action, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like how your book is set up, which is just very profound.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk also, as we're kind of talking about modern-day issues, well, let's talk about the current state of the economy, which at this point means very hard times for people ahead. So why would your book be, you know, useful in this situation and where we're at? I mean, it sounds like everyone should have your book.
Oh, thanks. Mm. Thanks. I hope so because people, it's during these times, it's very easy to be discouraged and to not want to move forward and to be depressed. And with the gift of hope, they realize that there are possibilities, basically. And part of it is taking charge of our life. We cannot control the economy right now, but we can control how our own self and our own life and sort of work towards keeping ourselves intact.
Mm.
And with the first chapter, I include mental fitness. I pretty much encourage people to take the 15 exercises that I've offered in chapter one. And one of them is creating peace of mind for yourself. And that could be anything like having changes in place, having a backup plan, looking after your finances as well, because if you're not in a situation where you do have a backup, then that will just create more stress in your life.
Mm.
So it's just little things on things that we can do, that there's always resources available.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. I've been considering the whole idea recently of living in the moment but planning for the future.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Living in the moment but planning for the future. And it's important to not let ourselves go spiritually
mm-hmm.
during these times. It's important to stay strong for our families and for ourselves as well.
Mm-hmm. So do you consider this book a spiritual book?
It is a spiritual book in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spiritual, inspirational, motivational.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a combination of a few of those things.
But no particular denomination.
No particular denomination,
mm-hmm.
because I do mention that that you know you should focus on a positive message, on a scripture, on what God thinks of you or another higher being. So
mm-hmm.
I don't actually specify a particular religion or anything like that. But I do encourage people to get in touch with their spirituality.
Why do you think that that's an important piece of this?
I think it's very important because we are spiritual beings. I believe that we are spiritual beings having a physical experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important to not just look at the physical aspects of life and things, but also the spiritual. And that is taking care of our mind and our thoughts. I do mention that we tend to spend more time on our other assets,
mm-hmm.
physical assets, rather than on our spiritual assets,
mm-hmm.
like our minds and our thoughts and our thinking.
The inside.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it does affect our life. It really does. Many people, especially in the great United States, America, have accomplished great things in the most horrific circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a lot to do with their spirituality and their thoughts and their attitude, actually.
It seems like we're having a bit of a spiritual renaissance right now.
I think so, too.
Yes.
I think so.
And it's interesting that it's coinciding with a lot of some of the old structures falling down, falling apart.
Oh, yeah.
You know, do you think that that's a coincidence?
I don't know if it's a coincidence or a correlation.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Yes. Yeah.
But things are moving definitely to a different sort of level.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And again, there are things that we see out there and that we know we can't control, and so we just realize that we have to sort of leave things to a higher being and focus on not just the physical but on the spiritual as well.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, interesting. Okay, so let's mention also the resources, which you have really compiled a lot in this book. So tell us a little bit about the websites, some of what you include here.
Sure. Basically, if I give sort of a suggestion, like for instance, on how to find humor in the day,
mm-hmm.
how to learn to laugh, which is a great muscle relaxant, and it's just a wonderful thing to do. I think that people should never forget laughter.
I love that. Laughing is a muscle relaxant. I've never heard that.
Yes, it's a great muscle relaxant, actually.
That's great.
And it also sort of helps us to look at things better and to feel better as well, and I think that's very important. Basically, I list a couple of websites that offer clean jokes and humorous stories and humorous pictures, and it sort of brightens up the day. So basically, if you're at a loss for finding a humorous passage or a funny joke, you can basically go to a couple of the websites I've listed
mm-hmm.
or suggested.
Mm-hmm.
And the same for inspirational stories. If you want to forward an inspirational story to a friend or to read one yourself, I've listed a website that offers that as well. And regarding other issues such as talking, I mentioned how important it is to be able to talk and to unveil your emotions and to just pretty much share what's going on inside of you. We don't always have someone available to talk to,
mm-hmm.
so I've listed the Distress Center, which is 24 hours. Not too many people are aware that these services do exist.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
I believe they do have centers in the United States as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to volunteer, actually, as a crisis hotline worker, so I can attest to the value of these wonderful services. It could be 2 o'clock in the morning and you are really depressed or have something on your mind or you really need to talk and get it out. And these wonderful services are available.
You know, that's actually really amazing because even if you do have close family members that you may go to for certain issues, sometimes just having an anonymous person just to talk to makes all the difference.
Exactly. It does. It makes a world of difference.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a matter of speaking to somebody to talk out your options or just to think things through, because when we do talk things out, we do tend to find answers as well.
Yeah.
So I've listed many, many resources, including even the Canadian Cancer Society, which also offers lots of support services and so forth, Canadian Mental Health Association, and also Red Cross, the American Red Cross as well, United Way. There's many associations, the Volunteer Association, if you want to volunteer your time to help others, which is another great thing to do, a great way of making of making a change in your life as well.
Volunteering.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm.
There's something about being of service as well that can just completely change your attitude and outlook.
It can in many ways. It feels so good to be able to give back and to help someone who really needs the help. And also we learn things as well.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely learn things from volunteering. So it's a win-win situation.
There seems to be a trend right now towards volunteerism. Are you seeing that?
I've seen that a lot. I've seen that a lot, and I think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's wonderful because it's all about connection and
people helping people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's yeah.
People helping people, and I think that's very important in this society to have that connection with each other and to give back. And it also lets us realize that we all have something to give. We all have things that are of value to other people to share. So that makes us feel good as well, that we can contribute in a positive way.
That's a really good point. You know, when we're stressed out or we have a lot of things that are, you know, looming on us, we forget that we actually do have value. You know, we do have gifts that...
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So I hope that people will find these exercises very useful and be able to reach out to others as well as to benefit... you know, their own life as well.
Yes. So what's next for you, Shadana?
Wow. it's just amazing. I just hope to continue to inspire people. I am sort of working on another collection.
Mm-hmm, I bet you are.
Yes, I just love writing, and I'm still working as a nurse, and I'm a busy mom as well, a toddler. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, which I love. That's my number one job, actually.
Being a mom. Yes.
And I love my son. So it's just basically pressing forward and continuing to inspire and to, you know, try to make a difference.
It sounds like you have a very full life.
Right, I hope so.
Yeah.
That's the only life to have.
Yeah, absolutely. So your only website at this point is your MySpace?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Enjoy receiving emails from either MySpace friends or from anyone, basically, and basically connecting. I'm working on another website as well for A Gift of Hope.
Mm-hmm.
But right now I'm on MySpace and Twitter.
Okay, great. We can follow you.
Social networking, yeah.
Yeah, that's the times we're in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, wonderful. Do you have a blog up there on MySpace?
I am starting a blog, so I will be working on that. It's quite a lot, though.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, isn't it?
It is.
When you have a full schedule, it's like, where are you going to find the time?
Exactly. But I'm sort of working towards those, and I think it's just wonderful that we have these social networking tools available to reach out to others and to share with others.
Yes. Now, will you be doing any book signings up in your area?
I will be. What I'm planning to do is, although the book is scheduled for an early release over the Christmas and in the New Year.
Perfect timing.
Yes. But the official release in Canada, I was planning it for Mental Health Week.
Okay.
To sort of raise awareness as well about keeping ourselves mentally fit and to having balance in our life, which is pretty much the theme of A Gift of Hope. So, and that's in early May, so that's the official. And during that time, I will be doing a lot of book signings and giving speeches and so forth.
That's when the heavy promotion will start.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, at least you're going to have it out for the Christmas season, and it's very timely. I mean, we really, really need this message right now, so... Well, I'm so happy that I had a chance to talk with you today. And
well, thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you for the interview.
Yeah, it's been wonderful, and I just hope you have much success with this book. I know that it has the potential to change many, many lives, so we really appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm just really honored, and I feel quite privileged to be able to do this as well.
Yeah, it's important work.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Shadana, and I hope to have you back on the program next year.
Thank you, Juanita.
Okay. All right, listeners, that's been Shadana Richards, and her new book, A Gift of Hope, 52 Ways to Live a Better Life, is on shelves now, and it's just out right in time for the Christmas season. So, you know, if you're thinking about gifts for family and friends, you may want to check out this book. It's really a wonderful read, very inspirational, and we could all use, as I mentioned, a little bit of that in these times. So I want to thank you for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live again. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.